Canada Day Live continues here at CanadaDayLive.ca. We're heading to Cowboy Country now, and this stop in Alberta is brought to you by the Scribble Podcast, your weekly dose of time-wasting fun. Join us as we chat about current events, pop culture, and talk with celebrity guests hawking their goods. It's the Scribble Podcast at thescribbleshow.com and on SoundCloud and iTunes. Have a listen at thescribbleshow.com. After this show, of course. Well, let's get a little bit country, and you know what, a little bit rock and roll. Country music superstar, I hope you're not offended, Terry Clark, you're joining us on the line. Happy Canada Day, Terry.
I'm never offended by being called a superstar, maybe a little overinflated, but thank you.
Well, no problem. Well, thanks for spending the holiday with us. We appreciate your time.
Well, it's good to be here. I'm honored to be a part of this. Thank you for asking.
Well, no problem. So I've actually got to figure out where you are, because, you know, you were originally from Montreal, right, and then grew up in Alberta, the home of Canadian country music, really. And now, then you moved to Nashville, right?
That's correct. I moved to Nashville in 1987. So I've been getting around quite a bit in my life. But, you know, I've been in Nashville for 30 years, a Tennessee resident. But I also have a place up in Ontario. So I spend a lot of my summers, a lot of time in the summer in Canada. So I haven't ventured very far from my roots.
I was going to say, you are still a true Canadian girl at heart.
Absolutely, 100%.
So I've got to ask you, though, do you celebrate Canada Day more or 4th of July more? Like, what's your summer holidays?
Well, I'm usually in Canada, so obviously I celebrate Canada Day more. I've shown up at some local parties around my cottage where people hire a local band and jumped up on stage in my Canada Day hat.
Of course.
In like a full and sung with a band and you know, participating in the fireworks and bonfires and celebrating our birthday, you know, and this year it's a special one because it's 150 years old. So this is a big birthday party this year.
I was going to say, we look damn good for 150 though, don't we?
No kidding. I mean, come on. I mean, nobody looks better. No facelifts, no plastic surgery, nothing.
It's all natural. It's all natural.
That's our country, all natural.
Of course.
All maple syrup.
That's what does it, a nice base of that. When you were growing up, though, in Canada, you had your sights set on Nashville very early on. Why was that?
I did. You're correct. Part of it was due to a lot of advice I got from local musicians around Alberta, Medicine Hat, and musicians and artists on a national level that kind of looked back on their careers and had wished they'd taken, you know, jumped for that brass ring. Country music's everywhere, but Nashville is the mecca, and that's the epicenter of country music. And if you want to be a singer-songwriter in this genre, the best place to go to see if you've got what it takes, you're going to find out really quick, is Nashville, or not so quick sometimes, but I got a lot of advice from people, and my mom, who was sort of mentoring me at the time and really my steadfast companion and friend and had a lot of faith in me, was talking to a lot of people about, you know, getting advice as what to do with this girl who wanted to be a country singer, and that was the thing we heard over and over again. So as soon as I graduated from high school, I ventured out and moved to Nashville when I was 18.
That's got to be scary, though, but exciting.
It was terrifying, and there were a few collect phone calls, because that was back before we had these cell phones.
Right. Yeah.
There were a few collect phone calls to home, crying and wanting to come home, and, you know, my mom said, you know, I don't want you to be sitting there at 50 wondering what would have happened if you'd have tried this, so just stick it out. If you still want to come home in a year, great. She didn't tell me I couldn't have come home, but she definitely encouraged me to give it my best shot and an honest shot, you know, and it was very hard. I was very lonely, scared, didn't know very many people. I didn't have a green card, so I couldn't even get a job. I was living off of tips, you know, that I made playing at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge on Lower Broadway and taking the city bus down there. So it was a character building time, and I don't think I'd be who I was without it, but I don't know if I could do it again.
Well, you know, in 20 years when you turn 50, Terry.
You're my new best friend.
Yeah. But, you know, you've worked with a lot of people. There's some huge names, obviously, in Nashville. So, I mean, it's not very Canadian of us, but name drop a little bit. Come on, it's time to brag.
Oh, the people I've recorded with, just even that over the years, people like Vince Gill and Alison Krauss, Emmylou Harris. You know, I've gotten to do duets with Dierks Bentley and Tanya Tucker and Reba. There have been some amazing moments in my career. You know, becoming an Opry member was the pinnacle, the hugest thing, being the, you know, representing women from Canada at the Opry is definitely something that I hold very dear and near to my heart and approach with tremendous responsibility because it's important. So there have been a lot of tours that I've been on, and touring with George Strait and Toby Keith and Reba and Brooks and Dunn, and it's been a ride. Let me tell you, I don't know if I could top it at this point or what's next, but it's there have been several moments, so it's a lot of pinch me moments where I can't believe I'm standing here talking to this person or having dinner with this person, or that this person's in my phone. I could just pick up the phone and call Reba. Now, don't go steal my phone, everybody. But, you know, things like that are crazy to me, and I just am astonished and humbled by it all.
Never mind. I was going to put you on the spot and have you call Reba right now, get her on the air, but we don't have time for that.
Yeah, if I do that, I may not get to call her again. I'm going to go ahead and change my number now, Terry Clark. When you call me, you put me on the air. You've got to go through management.
Did you all hear that? We just had Reba on the phone. That was, like, uncanny. That was uncanny. But, you know, I think that a lot of artists discover that it's not as easy having a hit record in the U.S. as it is in Canada. And maybe times are changing, I'm not sure. Because an album can go gold or platinum in this country, and it can have completely different reaction to consumers in the States.
Right. Well, there's just there seems to be a bit of a disconnect or a lack of recognition for some reason. And, you know, I think a lot of Canadian artists realize this and they get it. And I think any Canadian artist that could have American success would give their eye teeth to do so. I think it's definitely the feather in the cap that we all want. And not everybody has achieved or gotten to that point yet. It seemed to me like the 90s were the decade where that happened, and then it just sort of stopped, that crossover to the American charts thing. And I would sure love to see somebody do it again soon. Somebody's got to do it, and it will happen again. It's just been a really long time since it has, and in the era of Shania, you know, becoming the biggest star, the female Garth Brooks of country music, and Paul Brandt and myself and the Wilkinsons all seeming to have some success south of the border, you know, beyond the mid-2000s, it's just sort of tapered off, and there are some great Canadian artists like that. I'm a big fan of, you know, I love some of the artists that are out there. I love Dean Brody. I love Dallas Smith. We're all friends. And, you know, I would love to see one of them, you know, come out of the chute with a big old smash in America. That would definitely put them on the map internationally.
What's awesome about country artists is they're so welcoming and so friendly. You mentioned Dean Brody. He's been on our show, and we were just in his dressing room in Winnipeg, you know, chatting before his concert, and he was answering listener questions. And so there's just this community family vibe that everybody's welcome when you're a country music fan. Yeah. It's great.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing I will say is that Canada supports their own like no other country I've ever seen. And the minute I cross the border and go on stage in Canada, I know that I'm home, and it means so much to me. And I know that a lot of Canadian artists that are having tremendous success in our country of Canada, you know, would love, although they would love to have the American hit, are making a fine living and doing very well because of the fan support that they get in Canada. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And a lot of people have had very lucrative careers just inside our borders, and a lot of support from Canadians across the board. So I think that, you know, although it's nice to have that American feather in your cap of having success here, I think a lot of people are doing just fine without it as well.
Well, I like asking this. What advice would you give someone trying to make it in the music industry these days?
I would say to just surround yourself with people that believe in you and have the same faith in you as you do in yourself, and that see something special in your talent and will guide you and give you advice based on your best interest, not theirs. And that's the best advice I could give anybody. You know, I didn't get my record deal into where I was alone. I had people that believed in me along the way, you know, and it's not always music business people. Sometimes it's family members or a spouse or, you know, people that just can can help prop you up and lift you up in your down times, because there are going to be plenty of them. It's not all roses. You know, it's hard and there are tough times and you just have to keep forging ahead. It's kind of like laying the foundation of a house and building the house brick by brick. That's the way it happens, and you need a good construction crew with you to help you do that.
What was the biggest lesson you learned?
The biggest lesson I've learned, live in the moment. Don't get too far ahead of yourself in the future, and don't look back too much, because you're going to miss what's going on right now. I think that's the biggest, and I'm still struggling with that because I'm a planner, and I like to live way far ahead and make lists and plan out everything I'm doing in the year 2024 now, and I got to learn to live in the moment, and, you know, I'm getting better than I was at it, but it's a slow learning process and baby steps, but that's one thing I wish I had enjoyed and relished the moments more, you know, especially in the heyday when things were just exploding and everything was, I was so worried about hanging on to it. I don't think I enjoyed it in the moment that I had. So that's the greatest lesson I can bring from all of it.
If anyone's just tuning in, we've got Terry Clark here. She's going to be getting us Reba and Shania on the phone momentarily, so stand by for that.
No? Stop that.
No, it's not happening?
Raising expectations.
Okay, all right.
Raising the expectations I cannot meet.
Oh, well, you know what? I've got to ask you then, what do we see happening in year 150, 151? What are you working on? What's on the go?
I am doing a lot of touring. I'm making new music. I am thinking about writing a book. But that's, you know, that's very beginning talking stages. But there's a lot going on. I'm recording a radio show in Nashville called Country Gold. And it's all very 90s focused, and I interview artists from that era. My friends and peers, I interview new artists. A lot of them I get backstage at the Opry when I'm there, and I interview them for the show, and we talk about 90s country and how it influenced them. So that keeps me busy, plus touring. You know, I'm doing between 50 and 80 shows a year still. A lot of stuff this summer. I'm playing Stan Fest, the Stan Rogers Festival, my first folk festival in Nova Scotia this summer. You know, I'm headlining that one night. So lots of fun, new, interesting things keeping me busy and branched out and trying things. I'm writing songs. I'm going to record some new music this summer. So it's all very exciting. And I'm working with the guy that co-produced Fearless with me, which may stand as my favorite album I've ever made. So far, that's the album that No Fear came from, and his name's Stuart Smith, and he's an incredible arranger, guitar player. He's out with the Eagles. That's what he's been doing the last 15 years or so, and he's taken some time out to help me with this project on the creative end, so I'm very excited about that.
I'm tired just hearing about it, and, you know...
Yeah.
Well, no, we appreciate you taking the time and your busy schedule and spending Canada Day with us. So, Terry Clark, thank you so much for calling in today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jeremy. Happy Canada Day, everybody.